pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The text is from our epistle, Galatians chapter 1, 15 and 16. But when he who had separated me before I was born, and who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We began our series on the book of Galatians last Sunday with a very practical mission of our Lord Jesus Christ. He came to rescue you, dear Christian, from this present evil age. This is a perfect segue for today's continuation of the Galatian series. The Holy Spirit, through Paul in Galatians, teaches us about one of the most predominant principles of life in the universe. And that is a principle and the reality of separation. In saving you, God separates you from evil. But there is much more to be said about separation. To live is to experience separation. It is an axiomatic principle of existence. Cell division, or separation, is necessary for the growth and repair of multicellular organisms and for the reproduction of all organisms. And what is true at the cellular level is true of the cosmos. The discovery of the expansion of the universe was one of the great intellectual revelations of the 20th century. It came as a total surprise, and it completely changed the discussion of the origin of the universe. If the galaxies are moving apart, they must have been closer together in the past. That is, through the constant expansion of the universe, separation between the stars and separation between the galaxies is the natural contour of the physical cosmos. Separation is normal and it is necessary. Between our chemistry and the cosmos, however, our daily lives and the separation we experience represents both order for our lives and hardship, depending on the particular type of separation that we experience. We desire separation when it comes to our capitalistic system in the United States of America, which rewards hard work, education, and ingenuity. All men are created equal. This is true. But God rewards those who work. This is also true. The Bible says simply in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. At the same time, we bemoan the separation that springs from materialism, greed, and hedonism, which can blind people who have much to ignore those who are poor and who are suffering. Our country specializes in separation. It is both the key to our success as a great nation. It is at the same time the revelation of our shame. But we also deal with separation in our immediate lives. Disease is the experience of the disorder that has entered into the universe. When our bodies are impacted by any kind of malady, be it a virus, an injury, or an addiction, we experience separation from a fuller state of health. This is a distraction, to say the least, and in some cases a cause for a total shift in how a person lives. It is normal in these circumstances to experience bereavement and sorrow and or confusion when we are separated from the health and the vitality that we once knew. But life is also full of exciting forms of separation as well. Separation from middle school onto high school is exciting. Just ask Joe Taylor. Separation from high school to college is even more exciting. This is a time of many celebrations as we have so many graduates who are separating from one stage of life to another. Hope Taylor is separating from Lutheran High School Orange and going to college in Nebraska. Daniel Kuntz is separating from Crean Lutheran High School and going to college in Washington State. And Jacob Mueller is separating from El Toro High School and will be attending college here in Irvine. My daughter Danielle separates from the University of Chicago on August 30th, and will then separate from her status of being single to the status of being married on September 14th. She will then also separate from the United States in order to live in Germany, a separation that is for me both exciting and bittersweet. Nikki Atanasova, who just separated from her undergraduate studies at CUI, will start in the nursing program at the same school. Stacy Fisher is now separated from her program at USC and will become a Lutheran school teacher in San Diego. Nicholas Lewis has achieved his law degree from Chapman University and now separates from law school in order to pass the bar and to start an exciting career as Juris Doctor, joining the other JDs in our congregation. Indeed, separation is often also the cause for celebration. For myself, 22 years ago today, and 22 years ago last week for Dr. Mueller, we were separated for service in the holy ministry through holy ordination. And 14 years ago, my daughter, Ismaidi, was separated from life in the womb to life in the world. Happy birthday, dear Ismaidi. This diversity on separation is also powerfully represented in the Holy Scripture. St. Paul writes in Galatians 1, 15 through 16, "But when he who had separated me," aphorizo, the original word, "before I was born, who called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles." The word is important. Aphorizo in the Greek is a compound word from apho, it means away from, separate, at the farthest point, plus oros, which means boundary. It means to mark off from a boundary or a line. Kittle says simply that we can think of this concept as to sever. God separates, and for very important reasons. Sometimes for blessing, and for other times for judgment. On the last day when Jesus comes in glory, he will separate all people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. The angels themselves will conduct this separation at the Lord's bidding of the evil from the righteous. Michelangelo's Sistine masterpiece entitled The Last Judgment is a depiction of this real separation of human beings, demonstrating that Holy Scripture absolutely rejects the idea of universalism, the concept that all people are universally saved, regardless of their belief or lack thereof. God, however, will in fact separate some people to be united with God for eternity, and thus separated from hell. And other people will be separated from God for eternity, thus separated from heaven. And in our sin, we realize that by ourselves, we stand in the category of separation from God. Oh, we might try to fight against this, but on our own to no avail. We do not want to admit it, but often as we fight against what we know is destroying us, our sinful behavior, the harder we fight against God, the more we realize we're infiltrated by sin. This is a common experience, and the wise Christian must know this about themselves. Luther said, "And the holier we were," describing his efforts among the monks, the more blinded we were, and the more sincerely we worshiped the devil. That is, Luther's efforts to be pure led him to see that he could not make himself pure. But since that was the only religion he knew, as he remained in that system, he was denying the work that only God could accomplish. That is why he said he was worshiping the devil, because he was blinded to the gospel. This is our problem. We try to separate ourselves from sin. We insist that religion is defined by this. And so when we fail, we reason that we have no choice but to go along with this sin, because that is just the way we are and nothing can be done about it. And that is the devil's deception. It is a lie and a denial of the power of the gospel of Christ. God does not call you and me to pull ourselves up from our bootstraps. He does not call you to save yourself. He does not call you to separate yourself from sin. You can't. To illustrate this truth, we have the testimony of St. Paul. It was God and God alone, by his grace, his free gift of love and mercy in Christ, that separated Paul from his terrible sins. It is as if St. Paul was saying, every gift, whether great or small, whether physical or spiritual, that God intended to give to me, and all the good things that I was ever to do at any time in all of my life, all this God had predestined even before I was born. When I could not think, wish, or do anything good, but was a shapeless embryo. Therefore, this gift came to me by the mere predestination and merciful grace of God even before I was born. And then after I was born, he still supported me. Even though I was covered with innumerable and horrible iniquities and evils, to declare the unspeakable and inestimable greatness of his mercy to me even more obviously. He forgave my infinite and horrible sins by his sheer grace. So generously did he shower me with his grace that I not only knew what is given to us in Christ, but also preached this to others. But Christian, how does this divine separation from sin and death take place? How can you be rescued from your separation from God? If there is nothing you can do about your sinful heart, then how can you ever be separated from condemnation? Galatians 1:15. God, who separated Paul, called him by his grace. The ancient father Victorinus wrote simply, "For no one knows God except the one who has been called." From disorder, sin, and chaos, darkness, and hopelessness, God called, and he calls today. Irenaeus explained, Paul's former ignorance was driven out by his subsequent knowledge. Just as the blind men whom the Lord healed did certainly lose their blindness, the darkness being merely driven away. For the maker of all things, the word of God, who did also from the beginning form man, when he found his handiwork separated by wickedness, performed upon it all kinds of healing. And this healing in your life, dear Christian, has come because God has called you by his word. In Jesus, who gave his life for you, God is the one who is actively working upon you to turn your separation from God to separation from sin, to bring healing in your life. This is true even in your daily battle against sin. The great Chemnitz wrote, "Thus, in the lapses of the saints into sin, and in their repentance, there is set before us this grace of God in order that we may regard it in our weaknesses. Thanks be to God." In other words, when your conscience strikes hard, dear Christian, and accuses you of your utter failure, then remember that our Lord is the Lord who had mercy on us even before we were born, and who in his blood that was shed on the cross separated us from eternity, from the accusations of the law, and even the accusations of our own hearts. But how do you know that this is true for you? St. Paul was seemingly extraordinarily blessed by his dramatic conversion experience in seeing the risen Lord on the Damascus Road. What about you? The answer is that to hear and to receive the word of Christ from the apostolic witness of God's Holy Scripture is to hear from the Lord Jesus himself. That is what the word says. And that is what is true. You know you're elected in Christ because this word has called you in holy baptism and in the preaching that is here for you, because God brought you here today to hear it. And then to be called in and through the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in Holy Communion this day. There is no doubt you are being called once again. And this word means and proves that God is for you. Think of it this way. There is no doubt that there is one person, again, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that is absolutely separated from all sin and condemnation. Who would argue against this? Who is the one who is holy and sacred? Who is the one who has all life and power? That one is the Lord Jesus. Well, then here is the good news. This Savior identifies himself with you. He calls you his body. Where he is, you are. Where you are, he is. And because he is called, you are called. Because Jesus is separated to bring all salvation and hope to those who belong to him, then you, a member of his body, are in and with him. He is called, you are called. He is holy, you are holy. He is separate in glory, you are separate in glory. All who are in him are therefore the object of divine election. That is separation for eternal blessing. And God has elected you. And you know because God has called you by the word that even now enters your heart and mind again on June 9th, 2013. He is calling you now, and it is a call that does not need your strength. It is a call that doesn't need your effort, because it is so powerful that it was effective even before you were born. In Christ, you are absolutely separated from a life of no hope. In Christ, you are absolutely separated to be with God and to have a life full of hope. So come, Christians. Let Christ work on you and in you. Leave behind your efforts to fix yourself. And come to receive his good work of separation for you. Come up here and just receive his body, which will separate you once again from death to life. Come up here to receive his blood, which will separate you from no faith to living in faith. And then let him work in you. Let him do for you what you could never do for yourself. Separate you for blessing as one called by grace. And as we rely on this powerful call that separates us into the kingdom of God, let us now, by his call, by his word, by his grace, and by his spirit, live for him. Let us be separate from the world as we defend and are faithful to our marriages, as we defend and are faithful to our children, as we defend and are faithful in the way of faith and love. Let us live out our separation and turn from the sin that is in the world and share the salt and the light of God's word and God's life of love. Let us live as separated people, separated in Christ, and separated to be a blessing, that we as Christ's body may preach the gospel to the world in word and deed. In this way, dear Christian, it is good to be separated. And now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until he comes again in glory. In Jesus' name, amen. We stand for the offertory.